What is going on here?
What are you talking about?
So much noise.
It's the printer. Can't help it.
No. You're a printer. I mean, all the people yelling and making guttural noises and stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think all the bad movies have finally gotten to your system.
No.
That last one. Definitely did.
You ever seen Blood Theater, Crank?
I think I have, actually, yeah.
Yeah, that movie sucks.
We've all seen Blood Theater.
But you know what? All of his movies suck. I just, for some reason, that one bothered me so much more.
Is Blood Theater the one where they open up the second one and the group splits up and it's got... No. What goes on in Blood Theater?
Yeah, they're opening up a theater.
Like
of blood.
Is it one where like a murder happened a long time ago and they're reopening it or something?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think I've seen that one.
It's made by the same guy that made Hobgoblins, which is also a horrible movie. But it's something about it that is charming.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess you could say that this had charm, too.
But
it was also extremely annoying.
Trying to remember. Because there are a couple of them that are like that movie. Like, sort of a similar plot with involving movie theaters. I get details of them mixed up sometimes.
Well, you know, I never saw Popcorn, and I always wanted to see it.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
which is the one where Hitler comes to the theater and then they set all the films on fire?
Okay, don't listen to him.
Okay.
They have the big shootout, carves the swastika in the guy's forehead.
I do remember some movie where they were using swastikas as throwing stars.
What? Was that like Iron Sky or something?
I don't remember. Once he said that, I remembered it, because there's a scene where somebody like throws it like a throwing star and it sticks in somebody's head.
Oh, I can't remember that. Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking of Fantastic.
Oh, now you're just babbling.
No, hold on.
It's really hard to tell when he's
looking at up swastika.
Messing you. Also, you notice that he pronounces swastika like he's German?
Like schwa?
I mean, yes.
He said swastika.
Schwa. Schwa. Anyway. So, Blood Theater. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Awfully.
It's not as bad as, like, Massacre at Bloodfart Lake or something, though.
Oh my God.
That was.
You know. Like, you know, here's the thing about those movies, which, you know, I'll watch them, but
yeah,
I prefer to watch them when I'm not here so I don't feel bad about other people watching them. Because I feel like I'm being judged when those things are on.
Oh man, why is the top hit for swastika throwing star is Stormfront. And it's under general self-defense, martial arts, and preparedness.
Oh my God. What was I saying? What was I saying, Crank?
You like to watch those movies by yourself so you don't feel bad.
Yeah, but those guys, it's like they want to be Troma, but they didn't think Troma was extreme enough. You know, they didn't think Troma was tasteless enough, so they try to go that extra mile that nobody asked for.
The thing I don't get, all right, I mean, along those lines, like Troma, most Troma movies that I've enjoyed, and I'll qualify that by saying the ones I've enjoyed,
yeah,
were not meant to be bad movies, you know?
They weren't, like, you're right in that they weren't made for people to say that's a bad movie, but they do make them tongue-in-cheek.
A lot of them, yeah.
They want you to laugh at
them. I mean, like, Class of Nuke 'Em High and stuff like that, and
Well, Toxic Avenger Toxic isn't Avenger. A straight up fucking horror movie. It's,
no, but I'm saying like, but they're not meant.
It's not Toxic Avengers monster.
They're meant to be like schlocky.
No, it's not. Sorry.
They're,
what?
They're meant to be like schlocky, but they're not meant to be like terrible movies, you know? Yeah. Whereas like the people that want to emulate stuff like Troma seem to set out to make them bad.
Yeah.
Like, or they or at least they're not trying to make them good at all. Like, you know, maybe they're not trying to make them bad, but they're just not really trying to make them good either. Like, some effort was actually made at craft in the Troma movies, you know? And I mean, that's not even, because, you know, Troma puts out a lot of stuff that they don't even make. They distribute a lot of stuff, so. And I, you know, I have seen some really terrible stuff on Troma. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, they distribute more movies than they actually made.
Yeah.
But and some of those are good, and some of those, well, they're all bad, but some of those are good bad.
Like, and in fact, I mean, you know, I think I remember Kaufman actually was really proud of Troma's War. That was supposed to be like a serious movie, you know? Mm-hmm. But that was like his big, his attempt at making like a real boy. No, I don't, you know, like a real movie or something. I don't know. I mean, they're all real movies, but I don't, whatever. How you doing?
All right.
Good. I watched a pretty terrible movie with Kevin Sorbo in it.
Really?
Last night, yeah.
So oh, is it Ithaca?
No.
You watched a movie with Kevin Sorbo in it then?
Oh, I you know, for all that every, like, year, sometime, at least once a year, he pops up with some sort of, like, really bad news or something. I still like Kevin Sorbo.
What do you mean he pops up with some bad, like, he tells you your mom died or something?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, he just shows up and, you know, drops a bomb on you and then leaves.
I have to tell you something, Craig.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have cholera.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like, he pops up and related to something, like, terrible in the news or something, you know, like.
Oh, right. He's one of those James Woods kind of guys, isn't he?
Well, you know, it's just he says something online and then it gets spread around and it's like something.
Yeah, like, he's like Adam Baldwin or something. Like, he likes to piss people off.
I'm trying to remember what it was last I saw. He was going off on something last year claiming he's, like, kept getting blackballed in Hollywood because of his religious beliefs and stuff.
What are his religious beliefs?
He's just a conservative guy.
Blackballed? No, blacklisted. What's whatever?
It's
you know,
same thing. Blackballed, blacklisted.
You know what I'm saying though? Like because mm-hmm. because he's a Christian. You know, he felt like he was getting passed over for stuff. Passover, yeah. Christian.
So many, so many Christians locked out of the industry.
But this one was called Something Beneath, and it was about a sentient slime monster, and Kevin Sorbo plays an Episcopalian priest. And the thing is, I think this is meant to be a serious movie, but it plays like a comedy through most of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's kind of ridiculous, and like it's almost like they're delivering these tongue-in-cheek lines, even the people's names, like some of the characters' names and stuff. And I don't know exactly what else to say about it because it's a movie. It's like a Sci-Fi Channel type movie, you know. But and it's not terrible, but it's not a good movie either. And just the sentient and it gets you. I mean, towards the end of the movie, the sentient slime monster actually starts physically killing people, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it gets you by scaring you to death. It gets on you and gets in your system and makes you see shit, you know, like your worst nightmare kind of thing.
Oh, it bird boxes you.
Yeah, yeah. And it
bird boxed.
And they keep reusing this line about, like, when they would find somebody who was killed by the slime monster, they're like, look at his face. And then somebody else says, you look at his face, and then walks off. Like, so it's definitely, like, it's, like, under the genres, it's not listed as being a comedy thing at all. But it's played like a comedy. And, I don't know. I it's one of those movies where I'm not sure I recommend it, but you know, if you're gonna watch it, I don't think you'll really regret it.
I don't know if I recommend any of the movies that I watch.
Yeah. Let's see, what else have I watched? Oh, you know, Miss Congeniality 2 is not as good as the first one.
you're gonna take that bold stance there?
Yeah, yeah. I know it's not really a popular thing to think, but...
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for going out on a limb and...
Yeah, it's just not as... It's not as charming.
Standing up to the bullies out there that are surely gonna... ruin your life after this.
Yeah, it's just not as charming as the first one. Despite the fact that it has Ashton Kutcher in it, Killers with Katherine Heigl is halfway decent.
I would say that about Heigl. I don't like her.
Oh, really? See, I like her. I don't really care for Ashton Kutcher much. Although, Dude, Where's My Car is still a good movie.
Why do you not care for Ashton Kutcher?
He just seems so dopey, even when he's not playing a dopey role.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know, you know? Oh, and here's a movie that's not good, but it was worth it to see John Rhys-Davies play a complete, like, asshole.
Which is... He does that a bit.
Does he? Well, yeah, occasionally. Yeah. No, most of the time
he
just plays...
This wasn't that fucking Chupacabra movie he's in, is it?
No, this is called The Ferryman.
Oh, because he's a douche in the Chupacabra movie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times he'll play like just a bad guy, like a person with bad aims. But like in this movie, he's a complete bastard, like crazy bastard. And it was kind of worth it to see that. But the movie's not good. And, I rewatched Cujo for the first time since I was a kid.
Yeah?
That poor dog.
Yeah.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault. He was a nice dog, too. They may go out of their way to say that.
Yeah. And he liked kids. Well,
he liked kids.
And then he liked to eat kids. But
it's kind of in their breed nature to like kids.
Yeah, you know, most of the big breed dogs I've ever run into have been really mellow.
Well, a lot of them were bred to be babysitters.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are mean ones if they were, like, taught to be mean. But most of the ones that have been loved seem like they're like big, mellow, you know, fluffy gut things. Like,
you're a big, mellow, fluffy thing.
Sure am. Oh, and I saw the trailer for Shazam last night. Chuck's playing Shazam.
Yeah, that's his name, Chuck.
Well, that's how I know him. I don't know him from anything else.
He'll always be Flynn Rider to me.
Who?
Flynn Rider from Tangled.
From what?
Tangled.
Oh my god.
The Disney movie.
Everybody go out and watch Tangled right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. I just don't fucking care about it.
It's so much better. I agree.
I've never seen Tangled. I'm only vaguely aware that it's a thing. Like.
Oh, it's so good.
It's Rapunzel.
Oh. Okay.
It's a good movie.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, you know, most of those Disney movies are, aren't they?
Holy fuck.
Yeah, most of them are. I mean, you get quality when you watch those movies.
But yeah. So, anyway. Poor Cujo.
Poor Cujo.
And yay for Chuck. And you know what? Good on Disney. Good on DC for actually making a movie that looks like it's going to be fun.
Well, Aquaman's kind of fun.
Is it? I haven't seen anything. Like, I've seen people saying they like it, but I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, I like it.
It was so much fun.
It's not... it's the best DC movie, maybe. Wonder Woman's pretty good, too.
In my opinion, Aquaman was what Thor 1 should have been.
I don't think it's as good as Thor 1.
What? It was so much fun. It had, like... the most interesting concept work I've seen in one of those films in a long time.
Final battle is amazing, but it's, I don't think, like, just character-wise, I think the worst Marvel movie is so much better, like, characterization-wise.
I just think it's a fun adventure movie, and that's kind of what was lacking in Thor 1 in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, that was the money thing, I think. How much money did it cost to make Aquaman versus Thor?
Yeah. But yeah, the visuals are really good, the concept works really good, the music was good. It just was like a fun adventure movie that kind of had some fun, like almost like Uncharted.
It felt, yeah, I was going to say it felt Uncharted-ish. I still want to know how Mira learned to play a recorder underwater.
because she can make air pockets whenever she wants.
Oh.
Boom.
Well, for that matter, I mean, for that matter, how would they...
Boss on the recorder, man.
How would they learn how to actually speak underwater? Like, because that involves air and vocal cords and stuff.
They got all kinds of stuff they can do down there. They're powerful peoples.
Huh.
Each little snail there knows how to whale there.
Their metal masks move with their faces.
Like Destro?
Yeah, man. We have reached Destro technology.
It's about time.
I watched a movie called Uncle Sam.
Is that is that the one about the... comes back on the 4th of July. It was a full moon movie, wasn't it?
I didn't say it was full moon on it.
Oh. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
It's a terrible movie. I don't understand what it's trying to say, but... but yeah, this kid is really crazy about war stuff, and he has a G.I. Joe figures, and he has a Destro figure, but he calls him Ralph.
Okay.
I don't know... if they were trying to make it a legal thing, because they show the fucking figure straight up. So I would think that would be worse than using the name Destro. But I thought that was weird.
Sorry, I'm looking it up. Well, I mean, you know, maybe he's like that kid from Revival who kept calling his characters like,
oh yeah,
Super Captain Pants and stuff. Yeah. Super Captain Pants.
Admiral Peppercorn and his Jaguar gun. He has a Jaguar gun that shoots jaguars.
Oh, that was a Larry Cohen movie.
I don't know who that is.
Wait.
It said William Lustig.
Well, he was the director. The writer was Larry Cohen.
Okay.
And Larry Cohen did, like, you know, It's Alive and Island of the Alive or whatever, you know.
Well, they made horror movies before.
He wrote Q, you know, the Winged Serpent movie.
Yes.
And Maniac Cop, he wrote
yeah,
those.
The Maniac Cop thing I knew.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so I've seen Uncle Sam. I thought that was
this is basically Maniac Cop.
I thought it was a full moon movie, but maybe it wasn't.
I don't think it is.
But yeah, I do remember seeing it. Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Isaac Hayes beats him in the end.
Well, what do you expect?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's Isaac Hayes. You know,
he shoots him with a cannonball.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, it's like the cannonball that was like a cannon that was hanging out in front of the school.
And they just happen to keep gunpowder and a cannonball in it.
I guess.
Makes sense. Sounds legit. But I'm gathering you didn't enjoy it.
No, I didn't like it.
Okay. What else have you been watching?
I saw Mind Warp yesterday.
Oh, with, Bruce Campbell in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I saw your Instagram post. I didn't realize Sean McKeever was in that movie.
Yeah, well, he claims he is, but I didn't see him.
Well, if he was one of those mutants, it'd be kind of hard to tell, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but he said, well, for one thing, he said, I'm wearing the orange hat. And it's like everything in that scene is orange.
Oh, in the, like, the cavern cave underneath? Yeah. Yeah.
And then he said, I don't know where I am. It's hard to tell. So I don't think he's in that movie.
He's listed in the credits, though, isn't he? He posted a screenshot.
Yeah, he is.
So, I mean, he must have been in it enough to get credited for it. Unless he was just sort of standing off to the side and showed up.
hey guys, can I be in your movie?
You know, that's not a terrible movie.
Nothing happens in it. It's not that good.
It's not a good movie. It's not a great movie, but it's not terrible, though. I mean, you know, Angus Scrimm does well enough, and Bruce Campbell's pretty good in it. Although he's surprisingly non-comedic in that movie.
No, he's serious.
Yeah. That was like a serious role for him. Which is kind of weird. Well, that's fun. I finished watching an anime called The Anonymous Noise. And it's one of those, it's about, like, kids in a band kind of thing. Yeah. And I tend to like the ones that are, like, music-based like that. And it was fun, because this singer girl tries to find these people she knew when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
That she could never forget about, and then she finds one of them, and then she finds the other, and then there's like a, you know, love triangle thing going on and stuff. But and all the while they're making it as a band kind of thing. It's pretty good. It was only 12 episodes. It's on Amazon.
Not gonna watch it.
Okay.
I don't do anime.
That's fine.
I guess standards.
That's not what I said.
I can only watch them when I'm like winding down for the night or whatever, because I can't do subtitled stuff while I'm working.
Yeah, it's definitely been the hardest hurdle these days to watching a lot of stuff, or a lot of anime.
Yeah, I keep missing that, and I got like a bunch of movies in my my Amazon queue that are like German movies and French movies and stuff like that, but I can't watch any of them because they're all subtitled. Like, I'll get around to it sooner or later. On a related note to another one I remember watching, this was a couple years ago. It was also a music-related anime. It was called Kids on the Slope, and it was set in like the early 60s, mid-60s, and jazz is the main theme in it. Like, and these kids play jazz together, and they're getting into it at record stores and stuff like that, and it's, you know, there's a love story involved there too and stuff, but that was a good one too, though. Really good soundtrack. Kids on the Slope.
Or are they?
I don't know. And scene. So, what else is new?
Stop talking to me.
No. It's kind of like the thing. That's the point.
That's why all the people show up.
It's what we do here.
It is what we do here. I mean, I'd stop talking to you if Jim was there, because then he could tell us another story.
I don't know where Jim is.
Or if Ryan was there, he could give us a sports ball minute. But, you know, they're not, so I am.
Kitty.
I'm not going to name names, but man, I'm working on a really frustrating book right now. It's one of those...
You'll do my books and you'll like it.
It's one of those things... No, it's not. It isn't yours. I can tell you that much. But it's one of those things where... And this is not uncommon, but where, like, I suspect there might be some sort of communication problem going on between the writer and the artist, or the editors and the team or something, because the writer writes one thing, the artist draws something completely else, and then, you know, they don't figure this out until it's already like done, and so they have to go back and rewrite it to fit the script. But even at that, it's still like not really a lot of room for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The way it's drawn, and I guess the writer still wants to keep, you know, the words. It's like, why use so many words when you can say things less?
Writers don't like to get rid of words.
No, in fact, I've more often than not, if you ask a writer to fix a problem, they add more words. I've noticed that a lot, too. It's like, they think they're fixing it or something. Like when you show them like you got a space problem or something, you know, and they think they're fixing it and they add more words to it. It's like, come on, man. But yeah, in this situation, and I'm wondering, like, I'm just wondering, like, in a situation like this, where the breakdown actually occurs, or why, like, from the editorial standpoint, why doesn't the editors, or why don't the editors, like, maybe there's no thumbnail stage or something, so they don't see it until it's actually finished art?
Right.
But the same thing, but you know, in this particular situation, this is the second issue of it. The same thing happened in the first issue. So, like, why didn't that get curbed in the first issue? You know, or by the, feeling, go ahead. Like,
my feeling is that I think it happens when the artist and the writer are communicating like separate from the editor, so they don't see it until they get the final pages. And then they're just kind of like, looks great. I don't know. Like, because I imagine some teams just really like, you know, however they're communicating through like a messenger or email, just like have this back and forth. And then things never, the edits that happen in the conversation never make it to the, to like the original script or...
Yeah, could be. I'm just trying to figure out, like, when it becomes a continuing problem, you know? Like, it just seems to me that if I were the editor on the book, I'd look at this and go, all right, no, you know, we really got to address this as a problem because we can't keep trying to redo all this over and over and then try to stuff 10 pounds of stuff in a 1-pound sack, you know? Like, just seems... Yeah. But
yeah. That happened, Tim?
What's that?
Where you and the artist will be going back and forth on a book, but like not creator-owned, one with an editor, and then something gets changed in the art, and then by the time it reaches the editor, it's a lot different. Do you ever have that happen?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the thing that usually happens to me is that something doesn't... it's not what I asked for, and maybe it's my fault I didn't describe it right, or maybe they misread it, and that happens because of a lot of international artists, but not English as their first language. Mm-hmm. But I didn't see it until it was done, so I have to adjust the writing. Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm talking about. Like with this, I'm working on a book where it's like, this is the second issue in a row where by the time the art gets in, it's drastically different from what was scripted. And, like, so then the writer has to go back through and readjust it, but they're still trying to cram so much stuff into this that it's not, like, fitting correctly in panels and stuff. And, but it's, like I was saying, it's the second issue of it, so it's like, why didn't the editor step in and go, you know, hey, let's get this fixed for the second issue, you know, or whatever. And it's not uncommon. Like I said, I've seen this happen, you know, before, but I always wonder, like, where the blockage is.
Usually just language.
Yeah, probably.
Sometimes I also just wonder if it gets to the point where they're just like, we just need to get this thing out.
Yep. Editors' jobs are to figure out what they have to care about.
Yeah, and it does, it seems like editors, I, you know, growing up reading, like, science fiction magazines and stuff like that, like, editors were a driving force in those publications kind of thing. And even thinking about the old editors on comics I read growing up, you know, it seemed like editors were as much in control of, were more in control of the project than the actual team was, you know. But nowadays, like, modern editor type stuff, it always seems like they're more comptrollers than they are, like, actual what I remember as editors.
Mm-hmm.
They're more project managers and stuff like that. You know, they, the powers that they used to have to be able to say, no, redo this, you know, like, don't seem like they're as great as they used to be. But,
yeah.
I don't know. It's, but it's, it,
this is all, yeah. I've still been just getting used to like what it's like working with editors as opposed to just with the artist, because that's so much what I, you know, that's what I got used to.
Right. Originally. Yeah, I mean, you know, when I feel like an editor is actually in control of what's going on, I feel a little bit more relaxed in a project, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I'm not going to get handed like a bomb at the last minute or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff like, even the way like some editors handle doing the revision stage of stuff, you know, where it's like, I always feel better when an editor hands me a compiled list of things and not like a bunch of separate emails like do this, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
And then also like soliciting opinions of the other creative team and then getting those in as separate emails and it just, to me, it feels like it's out of control at that point. And I'm like, well, how am I even supposed to keep track of all this shit? You know, am I on an Easter egg hunt? What's going on? And then, like, you know, some editors are just so on it that, like, you don't feel like there's ever going to be a problem, really, you know? Like, they're not going to be running late or not going to be doing anything, like, mm-hmm. having to jump through hoops just to get a project done. But, yeah, it's just it's one of those things that you really got to look out. I mean, you know, or you should be aware of, I guess, when you start working in this business is that, A, it changes from editor to editor and company to company. But also that sometimes it's even like, you know, you'll be working with a good editor, but the project's just so bad they can't do nothing about it. You know? I had that happen before, too, where it just, like, it's such a mess or, I don't, you know, maybe the... somebody else on the team's like really hard to work with or something, I guess, and it gets to be problematic after a certain point.
I am right here.
We've been talking about you the whole time, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had hiccups before, but I've never had anything really terrible with you.
It's because you do what I say.
Well, it's because I kind of compensate for what you aren't telling me. That's what
do what I say.
Yeah.
Or I will destroy you.
Yeah, dude.
You know it's true.
Mike, you know it's true.
I rule you.
Pardon me?
I rule you.
Do you?
I rule you.
Like, you make me so I'm level?
Huh?
Because, you know, that's I can deal with that, being level. So I'm dipping my toes back into the Twitter again.
I don't care. Why?
Why not?
Yeah.
Because I want to re-engage with people. I feel like I cut myself off.
I'm going to cut you off.
That sounds vaguely uncomfortably suggestive.
I don't care.
I do.
I don't care. I'm gonna get
you. Frank's gonna have to file a complaint with HR against you.
You can do it. Do it. Well, Sean is not here for you to do it. So.
What are you talking about?
Sean is our HR person.
You mean he hates reading? No. He hates responsibility. That's what it is.
I would like for you to submit a complaint to Sean.
Do you really want Sean to be your HR person, considering he's the guy with the plan to kill everybody?
That's why. What? Actually, I think he's gone back on his plan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, he's like, whatchamacallit, Rucker Hauer at the end of Blade Runner, and he sees the value of mortal life.
I think that's part of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's, you know, that's good. That's like a soul improvement or something.
It is dripping on me right now.
What?
The ceiling is dripping on me.
Is that the sentient slime monster?
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
Who's in that movie?
Is there a link up there?
Yeah, there's always a link up there.
Kevin Sorbo. was in that movie.
Oh. It's called Sentient Slime Monster?
No, it was called Something Beneath or something like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. But it's essentially a sentient slime monster. Yeah.
Mm.
Technically, sentient slime monster is monster.
Oh my god! No, but it's technically not. This joke doesn't work. You're just doing it to bother me. You're like that blood theater. You only exist to bother me.
If it bothers you, that means the joke worked.
Oh, I hate you.
The joke is that it doesn't work, right? I mean, sometimes there are jokes like that. The out of context joke.
It's a callback joke. It doesn't need to match. It just has to remind you of the original.
Yes. Sentient slime monsters and Kevin Sorbo. But, what were you talking about? Is it rainy out there? Why is it leaking on you?
It's not, but it snowed, so that probably has something to do with it. It's melting up.
But you, how is it?
It's a wintry mix.
You guys are on the ground floor. There's no ceiling. Like, there's no roof.
There's pipes. It's coming from pipes.
Oh.
It's an ounce.
I see. Are you sure it's not sewage?
No, but yeah, I think it isn't sewage.
Okay.
I'm not sure of anything.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing, I suppose.
I'm drawing old people playing poker at an old folks' home.
Like they do.
And do you think that if I just draw an urn at one of the spots, people will understand what that is?
Yeah, I think that'd work.
And just draw the cards out in front of them.
But wouldn't they be showing their hand?
Well, it can't. The urn doesn't have arms.
Well, it could be like telekinetic urn.
You know? But if you're playing like Hold'em, you usually keep your cards down. You just like glance at them.
Okay. Do you know that just because of Red Dead, or did you actually play cards?
I know that from Rounders.
Oh, okay.
What's Rounders?
A movie.
Oh, an amazing poker movie starring Matt Damon, yeah. Edward Norton, and John Malkovich is one of the best.
And John Malkovich's accent.
That's a good movie.
Is this character named The Russian?
Yes.
Just The Russian? And he just sits and eats Oreos while he plays poker. So good.
That sounds exciting.
It's the type of movie you love when you're in, like, your second year of college.
That's an apt description of Rounders.
Like Bottle Rocket.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
Or what was that one with the, you know, the guy with his line about the, your money, baby, and...
Oh, yeah. That, yeah.
I can't remember the name of that movie.
That's Swingers.
Swingers, yeah. Swingers.
There's some money and you don't even know it.
Yeah. All the pretty babies love you. Let's see. I'm almost done with the Geddy Lee base book.
Jesus.
Dude, it's huge. It's a huge book. But it I'm in the weird section now where it's all just odd Italian bases and stuff. And, like, odd UK bases, you know, like, European-type stuff. And I never knew the original Hagstrom bases were pretty fucking neat. They were built like, kind of like accordions, where they had a lot of perlite stuff on them and that. And, like, the fretboard was actually some sort of, pearly-looking acrylic and stuff on some of them. Really, really, really neat-looking. And I can't remember which company it was that made them, but there were bases that were made that instead of being painted had Tolex coverings instead.
Tolex.
So they, you know, they looked like this weird.
Where are you going?
Grainy material.
Can
Tolex, like, on the base?
Yeah, instead of a paint job, it was covered in material instead.
That's goofy. Oh. Like that tape stuff that you use for amps, right?
Well, the Tolex isn't tape. It's like a, you know, it's like a material, like a upholstery type of thing.
Yeah, but it's like the stuff that you, the rough black stuff on amps, right?
Yeah, but Tolex can be made in all kinds of colors and textures, you know? Mm. Like, I've got an amp that's covered in kind of a dark reddish-brown alligator Tolex. Yeah, like, stuff like that. And on these, it was like a creamy white, and then it would have, like, a brocade binding around the middle. And it sounds weird, but it looks really cool. Like,
just sounds like putting, like, non-skid on your bass.
Yeah, I guess you could. That'd be rough on your arms, though. Like, trying to picture, like, a bass covered in grip tape or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were also... there was also a bass in there that it was covered in, like actual, like, upholstery, like a cloth material. And it was sort of like a wallpapery brocade kind of looking stuff. Yeah. And that was really neat looking, too. Like... I don't know what the upkeep would be like on that stuff, because you figure, I mean, especially if you're playing it on a stage, it's going to get sweaty. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
And after a while, the material would just, like, soak up all the oil and sweat from your body.
Start collecting dirt.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And then, like, if it, especially back in the old days, you know, it'd be an oily, sweaty, and then all the cigarette smoke and shit, and the beer spilled on it, and, you know, like, that's... Probably upkeep on those would be kind of bad. And I mentioned that this book also has interviews with people, and I just read one with Les Claypool, and man, he's a weird fucker.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
This is one of those things. I didn't like them. I didn't like Primus when they were new.
Yeah,
early,
me neither.
Early 90s, like... I'm not sure why, looking back on it, though, because I would have thought I would have appreciated him, you know? I think part of it was the fan base I didn't like so much.
Well, yeah.
They were another one of those bands I had just associated, like, the people that liked them. I associated them with the people that liked them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even though some of the people I knew that liked them were actually my friends, so I'm not sure where that came from either. But... And I don't know, I think it might have been one of those things where I found them slightly annoying, which isn't enough for me to make me completely dislike them, but then, like, they were played an awful lot in my crowd.
And they were played a lot in general.
So I think...
I just think he only does one thing. Everything sounds the same.
I don't know, though. I mean...
I think so.
Like, his technique, I mean, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, his technique's what he is, what he does, you know, like...
Yeah, but it's just the same thing.
But it, and he plays some pretty complicated stuff. Considering, you know, he's only got four strings to work with. But, after reading the interview, though, I'm thinking about maybe revisiting Primus and seeing if I actually like him or not.
Okay.
Sometimes I think you should do that. Like, revisit the things you think you didn't like, but you can't remember why you didn't like them.
Don't tell me what to do.
Well.
I can't ever listen to them unless a friend had them playing. They never...
And you're getting high.
Yeah. Yeah, I never, like, purposefully put them on.
I don't really remember exactly. Like, I remember that My Name is Mud song, sort of.
Yeah, because they played it on the radio about a million times a day.
Yeah, they used to. Oh, and Jerry was a race car driver. And I remember something about Tommy the Cat.
Yeah, all of those. Everywhere. All the time.
Yeah, I had some friends that really, really, really liked them. So even when they weren't on the radio, they were getting played in cars and stuff like that all the time.
I would. They would have been dead.
Well, I would have... You know, I had to hitch rides a lot back then, so I didn't have a lot of say over what was on the stereo.
Murder.
Murder is not the go-to answer, Mike.
Murder. It's murder.
It is not the go-to answer, buddy.
Murder.
I think you need to think of a little more constructive way of dealing with your problems.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know...
Until then, murder.
Maybe like murder, but murder with like, you know, mousetrap complexity. You know, you have to have like elaborate schemes to murder people. That's like a constructive way of doing it. You know?
Josh left to get food without me.
Aw. That's
rude. In the middle of the show.
It's not like he cares about the show. Maybe his blood sugar was low, dude. You don't know.
My blood sugar's low.
Well, you want a cookie?
Oh, I have granola.
There you go. You're going to eat the granola on the show again. That sound right there is you actually eating the granola, right? Dear God. Can't you get some soft granola?
No.
Like those little Debbie granola bars that are all just chewy?
That's nothing but sugar in those.
Well, you said your blood sugar was low.
I don't need too much sugar, you know that.
Yeah, I know. Are you leaving this weekend? You said you were going on a trip or something.
I'm leaving at 5 in the morning.
5, like, tomorrow morning?
Actually, 6 in the morning is when the flight leaves.
Man.
You're on your checkout.
That sounds terrible. So I haven't flown in a long time. What's it like these days?
I'll tell you when I get there. I don't know. Well, it's maybe different now that
government.
TSA is not working right.
That sounds like that actually might be a good thing.
Maybe. I mean, also going there at 6 in the morning probably won't be super busy, but
yeah.
Now that I've said that, I've cursed myself.
I've had that screw me before.
What's it like? Like, cause I mean, they've gotten more strict about like carry-on baggage and stuff now, haven't they? Like size-wise and weight-wise and stuff.
Some places.
Now, keep in mind when I'm saying I haven't flown in a long time, I'm talking about like, you know, 13,
yes,
14 years.
Yes, we get it. You're bragging about not flying.
Why would I be bragging about not flying?
Because people do it all the time.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thing.
Brag about their weird eccentricities.
No, I'm trying to put it in perspective that the last time I flew was a long time ago, so I don't know what it's like now, because I'm considering maybe getting they have little charter flights that go from here to Chicago. And I was thinking about maybe flying out for C2E2 instead of driving.
That can't be cheap.
When I looked at it, it wasn't too much more than what I would have to pay to, like, rent a car and pay for the gas and stuff, you know?
Yeah, the commuter flights are meant for people who have to go, like, every couple weeks.
Yeah. And they've only got, like, fixed times and stuff, like, a couple of times a day or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because there used to always be... I knew people who used to have to catch those between, like, San Francisco to L.A. all the time.
Yeah, like that. But anyway, I was looking at that, and I figured, well, with a charter flight too, or like a small flight, probably it's not nearly as, like, you don't have to go through all the waiting stuff, and probably the baggage issues aren't as bad as flying in a big commercial airline or something.
I've never done one of those type of, like, I've done those in other countries, but never in the U.S., those small planes.
It's, let's see. This place is called Ultimate Air Shuttle.
Wow.
And they go, like, from here to Chicago, here to Cleveland, here to someplace in Virginia. They've only got, like, a couple of destinations, too. So
I'll never forget that episode of The Incredible Hulk where Mr. McGee, who's chasing the Hulk, is in Gary, Indiana, and then calls the newspaper to get him a flight to Chicago. I'm like, what the fuck, McGee? You can't drive. the 40 minutes it takes?
Well, you know, that traffic, once you hit the overpass or the skyway, you know, that's a bear. Or when you get down towards a loop, like, depends on what time of day it is, of course. You know what? Maybe I, looks like the prices have gone, they must go up. No? This is a standard price. That's more than I thought it was. It's a, it's about $500 for a round trip. Which is a few hundred more than renting a car.
That's crazy. It doesn't cost that much to get to New York.
I think I've seen flights around that price to go to Europe.
Yeah, you can get to Ireland for $500 from here.
You can get to Ireland for less than that.
Yeah. I'm talking mid-season.
Maybe I'll take the Mega Bus.
I would take the Omega Bus.
I'm sure you would. The only problem with the Megabus, it's not even the fact that you have to ride next to people and stuff like that. It's just that it takes so freaking long, man. Because, mm-hmm. you know, driving, I can get to Chicago in 5 hours-ish, 6, depending on how far into where I need to get to, you know, like in Chicago. And the bus takes like 8 to 10 hours. Like, it's so long. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, because I kind of don't want to drive this year.
I don't blame you.
And I don't know if I'm just getting tired of driving, or plus, I mean, then I have to figure out the whole parking thing, and that's always a thing.
Parking is a thing.
And then, you know, I don't know. Plus, it's my luck. It's gonna be like snowing like crazy because it's in March. You know.
Are you staying with me, right?
Did I ask you if I could yet?
I think you did.
Because, yeah, you know, if you got a couch to spare,
If you're going to stay here, if this isn't some elaborate thing for you to pull out at the last minute.
Dude, I got sick last year.
This really makes him mad.
It does, because it feels like you're telling me I'm lying.
Shut up! You're lying! You're such a liar!
I mean, I made freaking lasagna last year. Why would I back out?
You better make it again. You better bring me that lasagna. You better bring me some of that fucking lasagna, or you're not invited to my house.
Yeah, it's the same one from last year. It's been in the freezer.
Well, Julie would do that. She freezes everything.
I offered to send it to you. What?
Whatever, punk.
You're the punk.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. I called you a punk.
Oh. All right. It's on.
Like Ron John.
Ron John?
I don't know. So, yeah.
It's on like Candy Kong.
It's on like King Kong?
Sure.
Okay, now see the oh man, the upside of the Megabus is if I book the ticket now, it's only $10.
Okay.
That's cuckoo. That's one way. Sorry. I think. So I'd still have to book a return one. No, maybe that is round trip.
The Omega Bus.
But
welcome to Omega Bus.
Oh no, okay, so yeah, $10 one way and then however much it is. So, you know, but still I could get the whole trip booked for like under $25. And I wouldn't have to drive. All I'd have to do is just take the train up from the Greyhound station there, I think.
Omega Bus.
I think that's where they drop off. Oh no, they drop off at on West Polk between South Clinton and South Canal.
I ain't picking you up.
I wonder if that's anywhere near now.
I would think it is.
Yeah, they wouldn't just drop people off in the middle of nowhere, would they?
I don't know.
That would be weird. But If I leave at 6:30 in the morning, it's only a 6-hour drive. Trip time has gotten better. Huh. Yeah, maybe I'll do this. I'll just make you pick me up.
I'm not picking you up.
I think I can manage to get up there on my own. So. Oh, goes up on the weekends. Interesting.
That's when everybody travels.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The downside, too, or the advantage of driving is that I can split whenever I want, too.
Yeah.
When you fly or when you're beholden to a schedule, you're kind of stuck with the schedule. It'd be nice to just be able to, like, if I decide I can't take Sunday, I just split on Sunday kind of thing. Yeah, hammer that, Paige. Get aggressive. Show it what's boss.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
You leave you alone. Huh? What do you have to say about that?
I hate you.
Now that I believe. Yeah. Do we have any email?
Let me look.
What did Josh get for lunch?
Cobb salad.
Cobb salad. What is a Cobb salad?
It's like lettuce, crumbled blue cheese, a little bit of bacon and chicken, and hard-boiled egg.
Hard-boiled. Oh, yeah.
Only one email.
Okay.
From Captain Colin.
All right.
Hi, chaps. Mike, I hope you're feeling better. I am. Thank you. The Compugnium looks amazing. I will definitely get it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That's in storage this week.
Can you bring your snow globes in your hand luggage on airplanes? In your hand luggage on airplanes. I was planning on bringing one for Crank when I visit Chicago, but I'm worried that it will not be allowed due to liquid restrictions.
I'd say no, you can't.
It's a good question because they sell them in the airport.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't let you.
Well, they sell food at the airport.
Oh, wait, that's after. So you would be able to go through.
Disembarkation. So
I would recommend buying the snow globe in the airport then.
Well, then it wouldn't be from.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or if you just drill a small hole in it and drain all the water out.
Then it's not a snow globe anymore.
Sure it is.
No, it maybe in weird Josh logic it's still a snow globe, but it's not a snow globe.
It's got snow in it. What do you want?
Josh, you can do better.
All right.
I'd still say no, though.
I don't know if they'll let you.
What if you just eject it with epoxy and then shake it up and let it dry that way? That way the snow's still
Yeah, that's still a snow globe, Crank.
No, that's a model of
there's
a snow globe.
Something you claim to not care about. You sure know an awful lot about.
I'm just, you know.
You have a lot of rules for snow globes.
I'm just saying, it's a model of a snow globe at that point.
Technically, Snow Globe's
monster. I enjoyed your brief discussion about Last Jedi. I agree. It's like a fan film. There has always been humor in Star Wars. Laugh it up, fuzzball. But the humor in Last Jedi felt forced. Crank, you should definitely watch Solo. It was good fun, but a bit unnecessary. Also, the discussion was nicely timed so I can plug my Star Wars Conversations podcast that has just relaunched after a break.
There you go.
So listen to Star Wars Conversation.
Does it give an address?
I guess just look up Star Wars Conversation.
I don't know whoever that is, but they're wrong about Last Jedi not being the best movie ever made.
Oh my god. You know, you
I just watched it 2 nights ago and had a lovely time.
I watched it again this week too. Sean watched it, and that got me thinking about it. And I watched it, and I thought, you know what? This is the best movie that's ever been made.
Hmm. Wait, the best movie that's ever been made?
Yeah.
Really?
My opinion of it has dimmed somewhat since having as the days have passed since watching it, but still.
You mean since you've sobered up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Still the best Star Wars, though.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know ever. I don't know what movie, Star Wars movie they're gonna make, but it's the best Star Wars movie to date.
Huh. Well, that should spark some conversation.
It's not, because it's called baiting. That's what he's doing.
It's my honest opinion on the movie. You can see it as baiting if you want. But...
My only defense with Solo is, how can something fun be unnecessary?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
If it's fun, then it achieved its goal. That's all it needed to be.
Maybe he was meaning it was, like, unnecessary in the canon, or in the, you know...
Yeah, I guess, but it was fun.
It's a movie that didn't need to exist, that's for sure.
I mean, like, I would argue what movies need to
exist. Oh my god! You would just argue. You didn't need to go past that word.
I
would argue is what you meant to say.
What movies need to exist, though? Like, the whole purpose of it is to entertain, right? I mean, I guess there are movies of some sort of educational movies that are like...
When you are making a Star Wars movie for a giant company, yes, you have to go into a room and make a list and go, which of these movies need to exist right now? Because we've got a long list of movies.
Yeah, okay, so I mean, I think that's completely reasonable, right? Like, did this movie need to be made instead of some other movie, right? Like, that's a worthwhile conversation about trade-offs. Like, when we could have made, like, 3 Boba Fett movies instead.
You could.
Is this worth 3 Boba Fett movies? I don't know.
Boberfoot?
Boberfoot.
That's the... Well, first there's Jango Fett, then there's Boba Fett, Jango Fett story. Then there's Boberfoot, Jango Fett story of a Boba Fett story.
Why did you say that Boba Fett? Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Do you like a Boba Fett?
Boba Fett. Yeah. I mean, we need all of these movies, don't we?
Yes, we do need all of these movies.
Seems reasonable.
I mean, I have to think what largely goes into, does this movie get made or not? Should we make this movie versus some other movie is, well, do we have a script for this movie? Do we like that script? Okay, then we should make this one.
Yeah, this has gone on too long.
Yeah, I read your email.
Oh, okay. Was that it?
Yeah.
All right, then.
There's only one.
Well, thanks for writing. And, yeah. Anyway. All right, then. You're probably hungry since Josh abandoned you for lunch.
I'm starving.
And I'm just going to...
What are you going
to
get me?
I don't know. I just meant I would come with you. Wherever you decided to.
That's how he's got you.
That's how I got your back.
Yeah. Okay, so from Albatross Funding Books is Grumble number 3 this week.
Woo! I have Grumble number 3, I have the Compugnium, and I have Hellboy the BPRD 1956 issue 3. That is a long fucking title.
That is a long fucking title. Oh, I'd like to mention that the B cover for issue 3 of Grumble is a Feral Dalrymple cover.
It's really cool.
It is really cool.
And it's sold out.
Is it really?
It sold out before it got to stores.
Just the B cover or both of them?
The B cover. There's 400 left of the regular cover, so it'll sell out too.
Sweet.
Because you fuckers aren't ordering enough of them.
Yeah, really, sellouts like that aren't good news, even though they always get put out like good news. Like,
yeah.
They mean that somebody in somewhere along the line dropped the ball in ordering stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're selling out a lot quicker as they go because they're not doing any better at ordering them.
Yeah. Let's see. So yeah, there's the Hellboy and the BPRD 1956 number 3. Mike's on that. That's Dark Horse, in case you didn't know. Because yeah, exactly. Hey, what's this? Dynamite. Oh yeah, Dynamite. It looks like it's just a cover variant. Sorry, I was gonna say, but they're Barbarella Deja Thoris crossover number 1.
Are you coloring that right now?
I'm coloring the second issue right now.
Yeah, what he said.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember if you were working on. Are you working? You're not doing the Hack/Chaos crossover, are you?
I did the covers for that. Oh. I colored the Tim's Tremaine covers for that.
I don't remember who the colorist is on that. I don't ever actually see the team names unless somebody tells me. For whatever reason.
Cephas Mangione.
I mean, I'll see who writes the script because I get a copy of the script, but I don't actually know who the artist or the... I think Celor's took over on Hack/Slash? I don't know.
Yes, Celor took over art, I believe, starting on issue 2 or 3?
Yeah, I think so.
And I can't remember who is coloring that.
Me neither. That's okay, though.
Sure.
We should mention the colorists, because no one does.
Yeah. I just don't know what they are, though.
Yeah.
I suppose I could go look it up or something, you know. But.
Aren't you looking at a list?
Well, I'm looking at a list of what's out in stores this week.
Yeah. The hard thing is that often... Previews doesn't even list who the colorist is.
Oh yeah, that's true. They previews never list the letters or anything.
That's because you're not important.
Yeah, I will hurt you.
Yeah, it doesn't say who the colorist is on any of the sites.
I'm going to replace you with my brother when he gets out.
So, he does need a job. I understand.
He does need a job. Oh my God! I would kill him if I had to work with him.
I mean, you know, you gotta support your family. I understand that. You know,
I'm gonna be supporting my family. Don't worry about it.
Man. Sorry to bring it up.
That's okay.
Actually, you brought it up, but. I did. So all right. So yeah, we mentioned the Battle Pug Compendium.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really good too.
It does look good.
I know we mentioned that last week, but I just thought I'd restate that. It came out pretty nice.
You did a good job.
We all did a good job. And I guess that's it for this week then. So you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com. Go read Battlepug at battlepug.com. You know, tease yourself for the Compugdium. And then go buy the Compugdium, because, you know, you want it in your hands. You want this mighty tome.
It is a mighty tome.
It is a mighty tome.
That's the way of putting it.
It's not quite as mighty a tome as the Geddy Lee base book, but it's like a third of the price, too.
Yeah, that's true.
So
it's pretty cheap for 5 volumes of a book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only $35.
That's a list, I think, right?
Yep.
Chances are you're probably going to get it for less than that if you order it someplace. Because that's just kooky. That's the way they work. People just make up list prices and then sell it for whatever they want. That's capitalism, my friends.
I might capitalize you.
Or catwolfalism.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
that's a character in a book. You made a joke.
It was a funny. Well, not so funny, but yeah. All right, then. Well, you have a good trip, Mike, and everybody else, have a good weekend.
Okay.
You too.
Goodbye.